So today we're finishing up in Psalm 23. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 23 and we'll get into the message. And I'm glad he picked those songs that he picked, because those songs deal with the back end of the psalm more than the first end of the psalm. And the message and title is Goodness, Mercy, and Eternal Dwelling. And Psalm 23, verse number 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a text. And due to the wise and loving care of the Good Shepherd, goodness and mercy and an eternal home will always be in the picture for the outworking of my life. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And if the Lord is your shepherd, the same is true for you. And we need to realize that. Now, the sheep under the Good Shepherd's care can be assured of everything working out for his good. There will always be mercy involved in the shepherd's dealings with the sheep. Then, too, they will never fear of being put out from under the shepherd's care. Actually, Psalm 23:6 is a testimony to my shepherd's care. Be reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior shepherd. And if you know Him, He's your Savior shepherd as well. If you know Christ as your Savior, you can say with the Apostle John, "We love Him because He first loved us," according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Peter adds in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." So we have great promises because of our Savior Shepherd. Now the Apostle James says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor neither shadow of turning. Therefore goodness should follow me at all times." Why? Because of God's nature. He's going to do us the right thing. He's going to do the right thing for us. And mercy is available at any time. The writer of the Hebrews encouraged the Christians who were facing persecution. And he says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, he says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The goodness and mercy are guaranteed because of God's love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There can be no doubt that Jesus Christ loves you. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." I want you to note that in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." In other words, we need to be sacrificial just like He has been. Now, having goodness and mercy, if you would like to experience goodness and mercy in your life, you have to trust in Christ as your personal Savior, because that's where the goodness and mercy really is. God holds back the judgment we rightly deserve being sinners. The goodness or mercy, the goodness or grace of God gives us that which we do not deserve. In other words, through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be restored to the place of blessing in God's sight. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You see, if we trust in Christ, He takes the burden off. The sin weight is gone. And you have to realize that sheep properly grazed on land can leave it better off when they leave than when they came. In other words, if the shepherd does his job properly, everything is going to work the greatest. A Christian who is blessed with the goodness and mercy of God will in turn leave a blessing behind as they go from place to place. That's what we need to do in our Christian life. Not only is God a blessing to us, but we in turn have to turn around and be a blessing to others. And it's important that we do that. In Isaiah 52:7, the Bible says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good things, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, and that publisheth salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." You see, when we actively are involved in what God wants us to do, we're showing that we really are trusting in our Savior, Shepherd. We're trusting His love, and we're trusting His judgment. We're trusting His Word. We're trying to accomplish what He left us here to accomplish. And that's the important thing. Now, to be honest, you may ask yourself, do I leave behind sadness or gladness? Do people want to remember me, or do they want to forget me? You know, there's a difference between the two. Do I leave behind forgiveness or bitterness? Do I leave behind contentment or conflict? Do I leave behind peace in lives or turmoil? You see, we can be one way or the other. The thing is, we ought to be the right way every time. Why? Because of our Savior Shepherd. Goodness and mercy should follow us all the days of our lives. Just think, the Apostle Paul left much behind. Note how many epistles in the New Testament were written by Paul. Look what he left behind. The people he won to the Lord, and the churches that he started as he traveled and preached the gospel. Then, too, he is a blessing to us today because he went over into Macedonia and preached the gospel. And the gospel being preached in Macedonia caused the gospel to be preached in the New World, which in turn sent missionaries out to Southeast Asia and other parts of the world so that other people could be saved as well. The gospel was spread across Europe and England and eventually into the New World. Since the Lord Jesus was compassionate to die for us, and Paul, with others, brought the gospel our way, we must leave behind goodness and mercy. Do you see sinners with the compassion that Christ sees them? They need God's mercy and grace, too. You know, sometimes it's real easy for a Christian to say, "Well, thank God I'm saved. Praise the Lord. I know I'm going to heaven and be happy with that." No, we shouldn't be just happy with that. We should be happy with making sure we take as many with us as we can. And we need to be a blessing to other people. Of course, when we respond properly to God's goodness and mercy, the Lord is pleased. Do you remember the Lord's words to the servant who had been faithful with the talents left in his charge? Remember the passage? Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Our shepherd wants us to be obedient and trust wholly in his care. In doing so, we will experience the abundant life. It's only when we do what he wants us to do consistently do we really have the abundant life. When we realize that we are experiencing the abundant life, we will express our love and appreciation to the Lord for his goodness and mercy. Then he is satisfied because of our love and fellowship with him. The travail that his soul experienced to make our salvation possible was worth it all. There's a little chorus that says, "I am satisfied with Jesus, but the question comes to me as I think of Calvary, is my master satisfied with me?" You see, do I wander off like sheep will do? Do I think that just any old dirty pool of water is okay? Am I stubborn and self-willed as a Christian? When my work on earth is ended, will I hear him say, "I am satisfied with thee"? This should be the heartthrob of every Christian to desire to please our Savior. Now, not only that, but dwelling forever in the Lord's house. What a phrase. I mean, just think about it. Eternity in security. Eternal dwelling. It always feels so good to me to get back home after a trip. And it's been said there's no place like home. Now, we'll be gone a few months, and when we get back, we'll be looking for things in the house. And, you know, with being away for so long, it's real hard sometimes to find what we're looking for. And we think somebody moved it or took it, and then later we find it because we just couldn't remember where it was at, you know. And I'll always be fond of going to my mother's home, which is no longer her home because she's got a new home. And when I did go to my mother's home, I would usually sleep in my old bedroom. And a few of the things that I had when growing up were still there when I would go and sleep in my old bedroom. And my grandchildren would play with those things. Now, some time ago, while I was on furlough in the United States, I had the opportunity to go and see some of the houses we lived in when I was growing up. What a revelation! It brought back memories of the past. I remember my first tricycle, and my first bicycle, and my first wagon, and my first snow sled, and my Boy Scout suit, and the paraphernalia you used as a Boy Scout. And on this trip, then we drove by First Baptist Church of Falmouth, Kentucky, where I was introduced to my Savior Shepherd. And we even were, blessed with the opportunity to go and see Reverend Sears, the pastor that was pastor of the church. He was now in retirement and living on the outskirts of Falmouth, Kentucky. And got to go see him. And he had an old Model A Ford with a little flip-up seat in the back. And I put my grandkids in that seat because they were complaining the whole time we were on this little journey going back and seeing things that brought back memories to me, you see. Well, then when they got to ride in the Model A Ford, now that made their day. But since that time, I have been fond of regularly attending the house of the Lord. I love the songs of praise and the testimonies of the saints and the expounding of the Word of God. And if you knew, you know, if you knew your Savior Shepherd as many years as I've known my Savior Shepherd, you'd understand what I'm talking about. What I'm trying to say is, I feel at home in the house of the Lord. And I want to be there every time I can be there. And I hope that's the case with you. But by some of the empty seats that we see, we know that some are not of that mindset. You see, Jesus has gone ahead to prepare a place for me. And if you are saved, He's preparing a place for you too. One day He's going to come again and receive us unto Himself, that where He is, we'll be there with Him. And that future home is going to be my eternal home. And it is in that place called heaven. According to the book of the Revelation, there will be no more night, no more curse, no more tears. What an experience it will be in that day. Wow, what a place. But the unsaved are looking forward to death and darkness and torment and hell. And their shepherd has no love and couldn't care less if they're cold or hungry or naked or sick. Why? Because that's the devil. And I don't believe anyone wants to go to hell. But there are many who are trying to get in to God's fold, but they're struggling at the wrong doors. You see, there's only one door, and that's Jesus Himself. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The doors of baptism and works and church membership will not get you into heaven. Just because someone is a Christian in your family does not assure you a place in God's fold. Salvation is a personal matter. It's something that the individual has to do. You see, and each one must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is as though there are only two folds with a fence between them. There is one gate in the fence. That gate is Jesus Christ, the door. And as the Christian goes in and out and finds pasture in his or her life, it should be radiant and reflect the benefits of being a sheep in God's fold. Many who are looking for the gate or way to a better life should be looking to Jesus Christ, because that's where it is. It is our testimony pointing them to Christ. Then they will long to trust in Christ and dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, if we are dwelling in God's house or fold, and it is forever, then we are constantly in the presence of Christ from the moment of salvation. Our Lord's desire is that we also be in intimate fellowship too. This is what Jesus was teaching in John 15. Notice what it says in verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. In verse number 7, it says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. In verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, and even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Now this is the kind of sheep in God's fold that will cause others to desire to come into God's fold. Let us be sheep who desire His continual presence and control. Now, we had these songs earlier, but I'd like to just give you a little elaboration of Psalm 23. Listen to what I'm saying now. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside still waters. That's refreshment. He restores my soul. That's healing. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For His name's sake, that's purpose. He has purpose in what He does in our lives. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil. That's protection. Even in our testing, God protects us. For You are with me. That's faithfulness. He is faithful to us. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. That's discipline. And we need it in our lives because we're His sheep. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's hope. I can always trust in God doing the right thing for me. You anoint my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup overflows. That's abundance. In other words, He gives us more than we deserve, more than we can take in, you see. And surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. Oh, that is great blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. That's real security. How do I know it's security? Because the last word is forever. That's eternity. Not just the present life, but eternity. Praise the Lord for Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. It's just a shadow. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. We need to know that His discipline is good for us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And we have many enemies. The flesh, the world, the devil are all our enemies and others. You see, Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. His blessings are bountiful. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In other words, we have blessings in this life. Plus, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Eternity. Eternity. You see, I'm so glad I have a Savior Shepherd. I'm so glad I know Him. And I've known Him for over 60 years. I won't tell you how many years over 60 because that's saying too much. But over 60 years. And if you haven't gotten up to the 60, just keep loving Him. Keep obeying Him. Keep serving Him. Keep doing what God would have you to do. And when you get that far along, you'll realize that this is the only place to be. Why? Because the Lord's my shepherd, and I shall not want. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, bless to our hearts the Word of God today. And as we finish off Psalm 23, we pray that You'll just help us to realize how good we really have it. We've got it really good. And we're almost spoilt rotten. But I pray that You will use Your rod and Your staff to keep us in the straight and narrow way. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to consecrate our lives to you and be willing to do whatever you would have us to do during this life's journey. And we'll give you praise because we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.